Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C. This is Agriculture Today.
Any producers with cover crops for this 2022 growing season, they need to be aware of the pandemic cover crop program, which was initiated in 2021 and has been extended to 2022. So that if they've got cover crops and those are certified accordingly, then they will be eligible for a premium support of $5 per acre on their primary insurance.
Mark Brown is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers.
That would be, that's not a huge amount, but $5 is $5 whenever it comes to a budgeting year like this. And so we'd certainly encourage producers who are already utilizing cover crops to take advantage of that.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
If you want to get anything done in this space, I think there's finally a recognition in Washington, D.C. that we're going to have to work with producers as opposed to telling them what to do. I mean, we all of us in production agriculture have known that for decades, right? Farmers are the first and best stewards of the land, and I think there's increasingly a recognition.
Dr. Bart Fisher, co-director of the Ag and Food Policy Center.
I think there's also a recognition that agriculture needs to be part of the solution. It can be part of the solution. We're a huge carbon sink in this country, and so I do think that's part of what's driving it.
Though Fisher talking about carbon markets, we could apply the same thing to trade.
The Department of Agriculture released its export forecast this week during its Agricultural Outlook Forum. American Farm Bureau Federation senior economist Veronica Nye says the projections spell good news for farmers and ranchers.
USDA is projecting another banner year for U.S. ag exports. They're projecting in fiscal year 22, ag exports will reach a record $183 billion, which is up over $11 billion from fiscal year 21. I think it's important to note that fiscal year 21 was already a record. So clearly, as USDA said, they're race to $200 billion is on.
China failed to reach Phase 1 agreement purchasing commitments by roughly $13 billion, but should remain the top U.S. customer.
China did have record imports of ag products last year, over $33 billion. And while USDA is projecting that U.S. ag exports in fiscal year 22 will be $36 billion, which is up about $3 billion from last year, they are not projecting that China will make up much of their missed Phase 1 target. So, yes, they will continue to be the number one customer, but how much progress they'll make towards digging out of their Phase 1 commitment hole is yet to be seen.
The forecast suggest higher unit values will offset projections of lower volumes. Nye says the forecast for record exports comes despite persistent headwinds.
And one challenge that we're quick to point to and that we're hoping to find legislative solutions for is the congestion that we're seeing at U.S. ports. In our estimation, U.S. ag exports in just May through September of 2021 would have been over $4 billion higher if we'd seen better access to containers and to shipping routes out of the U.S. So while, yes, we're certainly looking at record exports, we're working hard to try to clear out hurdles for U.S. ag exporters so that we can reach our full potential.
The 2022 Trade Policy Agenda and 2021 Annual Report from the U.S. Trade Representative's Office outlines the Biden administration's trade agenda for the year. Dave Salmonson, American Farm Bureau Federation Senior Director of Congressional Relations, says the report shares the administration's trade goals with Congress.
It is really a report that's required to be made from the administration to Congress annually to talk about what the administration has done in the past year and what they want to do going forward for the current year. So it is meant to make sure that Congress is involved and, of course, through Congress, the American people, in the administration's trade policy actions.
Major priorities for 2022 include China and the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework.
The administration starts off with trying to recalibrate how they deal with China. Also, and this is a part of that strategy, is including the new Indo-Pacific Economic Strategy, trying to have closer economic ties with many of the countries in the region. And also an emphasis on enforcement of existing trade agreements. Doesn't include everything we would be looking for at Farm Bureau. You don't see any discussion of moving forward with reauthorizing trade promotion authority or any mention of pursuing binding trade agreements.
Other priorities include bolstering supply chains and improving sustainability through trade. Salmonson says the report is overall positive for agriculture.
We just had the forecast from USDA. They're looking at over $183 billion of U.S. agricultural exports. So we're looking at this agenda to deliver on maintaining the markets we have and expanding markets. So it's good that they want to work on the trade relationship with China. The new Indo-Pacific economic framework has to be developed. It's a good start. We need engagement with those countries, but we always look forward to having agreements that will reduce barriers in the region.
Michael Clements, Washington.
It's Agriculture Today.
On the phone with Joe Guzman, National Sales Manager with Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, planting season right around the corner.
Sure, Stephen. As the year begins drier than we expected, keep in mind that sesame is very drought hardy and has a low cost to raise. Our grain handlers are buying Equinom Smarter Sesame in the range of $22 to $24 a bushel, which competes well with other crops in our area. Also, sesame can be an insurable crop in most areas. It should be added to your policy by the 15th of March.
Joe, if somebody wants more information.
Sure, they can reach me at 1-833-SESAME. Or Equinom.com.
If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The business of family farming is risky, and it is important to have smart safety net programs in place for when the unthinkable happens.
Johanna Hayes is a representative from Connecticut, member of the House Ag Committee, at a recent hearing looking at the Farm Bill.
It is also important for us to ensure that these programs are accessible to all farmers. So my question is, the USDA has made several modernization efforts to make information and applying for these Title I programs more efficient. Mr. Coleman, can you talk about your producer's experience with using USDA's online tools and program application systems?
Sure. Happy to talk a little bit about that. Yeah, the FSA offices have implemented programs where we can get a lot of that information and do it online. But it does get real complicated. These programs kind of overlap. I'm very involved with EQIP and NAP and a lot of the programs there. And so sometimes it gets kind of confusing. That's probably the reason why I made the statement about being able to go into the office and talk to these people in person, and the staffing, having the staffing and the ability for them to work personally with the person, especially with me doing as many different crops as I do. It gets very complicated, but the tools are there. The tools are there and they are working. It's pretty complicated.
Thank you for that. USDA data has shown time and time again that black farmers receive only a fraction of the farm subsidies that white farmers do. So my question is, most recently, they released data showing that nearly all the funds provided to the farmers to offset impacts of COVID-19 went to white farmers. Mr. Doyle and Ms. Berg, what are your organizations doing to support black farmers and producers when it comes to Title I programs? And what could Congress do to address these disparities?
Thank you for the question. From our organization standpoint, we have a new strategic plan in place. We reevaluated our policy, and we have included diversity within our membership, encouraging membership, as we are a membership election type of board. We have brought in speakers on diversity, educating our membership just to let them know to be aware of that. We encourage youth. That is one way. Minority colleges with the Manners Program. We've recently had them come in and speak to our board, and it's opportunity exists there. I am in the Delta, Mississippi River Delta, and farmers. We are there's few of us. It's challenging sometimes just to get volunteers on our own board, regardless of their ethnicity. So just continue education, including diversity. Mr. Bridgeforth here is in the room, and I've actually been in a educational communication team with his brother, a farmer from Northern Alabama, and Kyle has and his family have done great things. And we continue to reach out to families like his and others in Arkansas to make us aware of what we need to be doing and improving our association representing all farmers within the United States.
At the National Association of Wheat Growers, I will be the second woman president ever in the association's history. So we have definitely been moving forward trying to get more minorities or anybody, we embrace them in our industry and for our association. So we do look forward to working with anybody who would like to walk through the door with regard to minorities or anybody at all. We embrace it.
It's Agriculture Today.
Every drop counts. Introducing the Patriot 50 Series Sprayer from Case IH that puts every drop of product exactly where you want it. Enhanced LED lights, a cab designed for all-day comfort, and more precise spraying technology. Because just like you, we know every drop counts. Visit your local Wiley implement for details on the new Patriot 50 Series Sprayer.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
AquaYield regional agronomist Dr. Tracy Carrillo talks about using NanoPro to improve your burn down.
NanoPro is a nanoliquid technology that grabs the molecules of your burn down herbicides. It enhances the delivery of your herbicides, making them more efficient. You oftentimes see a 3-to-1 return on investment. This will stretch your chemical use up to 30%, which means you're saving more money, especially with the availability and volatility of chemicals these days.
Find out more at aquayield.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
We are watching all the efforts that are going on, both from the producer-led side, people indicating around the country that they want to start something different, a packing facility that has the potential to benefit producers, and that's not one of the big four packing plants. And the government has come out with some proposals, some financial incentives released this week to incentivize that production. But unfortunately, some of those are tailored toward the small and very small, and while those are good for local communities, they don't really have the capacity. There's not enough there that's really going to impact the overall lack of capacity in the country.
Josh Weingartner is Director of Government Relations with the Texas Cattle Feeders.
So it's good for a local area, but it may not be good for the overall industry. So we really need to also have those mid-sized packing plants that have enough throughput to get through the cattle that are here, provide an alternative to the current system, and it provides incentives back to those producers that want to work with those new plants.
He admits that existing plants are aging.
The plants are multiple decades old. Now, they have been updating the insides of those plants with the new technology, new equipment at times. But I think some of these that come online, if we can really get these mid-size packing plants up and running, they have the potential to bring in some new technologies, new equipment that's going to be better for the employees, it's going to be better for the producer. So I'm encouraged by that. But we're also in that part of the cattle cycle, like I mentioned before, with this drought, that numbers are starting to come down. So this investment in packing capacity is coming at a time when the supply is about to go lower. So it's going to create some other challenges from that aspect.
Lack of capacity, just one issue. There's another one. Waters of the U.S.
The Obama administration first proposed the Waters of the U.S. Rules in response to Supreme Court ruling. Those were held at bay to some degree, and then when the Trump administration came in, those rules were changed. They vacated the Obama-era rules. They passed their own set of rules on WOTUS that were much better and made a lot more sense from the landowner perspective. But unfortunately, this past year, a federal court placed they vacated those rules. The Biden administration has since rolled them back. So now they're re-proposing a new set of rules because something has to be done to comply with the Supreme Court ruling. And we're watching that to see, are we going to have a shift back to the way that the Obama rules were written? Or is it going to be something in between Obama and the Trump rule? We're still trying to get our hands around what they're actually going to say. We've done a tremendous amount of education with people around the country, with the regulators on this. They've had a couple of bad beats, so I'm not sure how much they want to push this. I'm hoping that they work with us, and when I say us, I mean the landowner community, in advance, help give us some input, and then maybe we can craft a set of rules that do what needs to be done from the conservation side, water quality side, without impairing what happens to landowners' rights.
Agriculture Today. Are you an experienced service technician or diesel mechanic looking for a better opportunity? Consider John Deere. South Plains Implements offering a $10,000 signing bonus for qualified candidates. We pride ourselves in offering the best customer service and advanced training and growth opportunities for our employees. You'll be a part of a stable company with superior earning potential and state-of-the-art service jobs. Visit our careers page at southplainsimplement.com or stop by one of our 14 John Deere locations to apply. South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Soybean future crush margin has been historically high. That is to say, the value in buying the bean, crushing it for meal and oil, and selling the meal and oil has been very high. Demand for those co-products of soybean crush has been substantial.
Dr. Seth Meyer, USDA's chief economist on soybean demand.
And really, it has been a shift here in oil demand that is the real driver, bringing on an increased share of the bean. So oil is carrying more of the weight of the value of soybeans, and that really is one of the factors pulling soybeans higher. And as we went into our outlook in October, you'll note that one of the outcomes of that outlook was that, you know, we really need increases in domestic production through yield of soybeans in the United States just to satisfy our own increases in demand. And one of the drivers of soybean oil demand that's lifting that share of oil value in the bean has been increased biofuel production from soybean oil. Now, this is just soybean oil. There are lots of other vegetable oils, and there are substitutions amongst those vegetable oils. But you can see here that, in fact, we have been seeing increases in biofuel use of soybean oil, and in particular in recent years, renewable diesel production, where the greenhouse gas and economics are favorable and that industry has expanded. So we do see an increase in soybean oil into that product, and that's one of the demand factors that's helped supporting oil prices in the value of the bean. Another factor I think that is important for us to remember is on the heel of that smaller South American crop, and we'll continue to evaluate that South American crop, is that October 1 stocks are going to support good export strength to the United States into our own harvest this year. So as we come into harvest this year, the South Americans will have less supplies to compete with us. We should have a good export program, and again, supporting prices for U.S. soybean producers for the new crop.
But really, we're replacing government payments with higher prices.
And I think that there's a couple stories in here that I think are quite interesting, which is, you know, we had some large ad hoc and focused payments for unusual events. And we start to see those government payments decline and come back out of the market. I think the good part of the story of this is for the last couple of years, for each dollar lost from the government's assistance, we have seen more than a dollar return from the marketplace. So we're more than offsetting the decline in government payments with dollars from the marketplace. And I think that, you know, we often talk about, a producer will tell you that a dollar from the government and a dollar from the market spend the same, but maybe they feel different in your wallet. They'd like to have it coming from the market. And I think that that's the story for 2022 as well, too, with one notable exception that I think we need to keep an eye on, which is, okay, if receipts are more than offsetting, cash receipts from the market are more than offsetting government payments, why is farm income down? I'll remind you all that we are seeing some increases in input prices for producers. And here I'm looking at this December relative to last December and the December before that in terms of input prices, and we have seen some notable price increases. We've seen some nice output price increases for producers in recent months to help offset some of these rising costs. And we certainly have seen perhaps the highest in crop insurance discovery prices for February, looking like we're having them for a decade. So some indication here that producers can eliminate some or minimize some of the risk with high commodity prices and high input prices going forward. But again, clearly input prices having an effect on producers' budgets. Every one of these lines you can envision as a budget within a line within your crop budget, and pretty universally all of them showing at least some increase. Obviously, commodity prices being higher helps offset some of those costs.
It's Agriculture Today.
My name is Manuel Macias. My dream was to become a farmer like my grandfather and my dad. It was hard back then. I wanted so bad to buy some land, but no bank will go with me until I went to Capital Farm Credit. And as soon as I walked in, I felt the friendliness in it. It's a partnership. It's good to do business with a company that looks out and gives you back whatever you put in. Capital Farm Credit, together we're better.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
As we are seeing incredibly higher input costs, I mean, it looks like fertilizer for my co-op at home is up at least 80%, and we tried to get our fuel tanks topped off at the tune of at least 50% more in cost from a year ago.
House Ag Committee recently holding a hearing to review the 2018 Farm Bill and start looking towards the 2023 bill. Doug LaMalfa is a member of the committee from California.
So what you're saying is increasing the reference price is going to be extremely helpful towards getting through this next phase for rice, and I imagine the other commodities too, right?
Yes, sir, that would be correct. And we're working to try and figure out the data behind all of that.
Okay, so is that something that will be pretty forthcoming here, the data on that, so it can be implemented in our discussions?
I'm sure the rice industry will be working on that going forward, yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Ford with Cotton, an issue for rising input costs affecting cotton as well, is that's, I guess, across the whole range, somewhere reaching 25 to 40% when you blend fertilizer and fuel and other inputs in there for in cotton as well. Maybe that's low. You can correct me on that, too. What do you think this Ag Committee can be thinking about and incorporating into this in these farm bill discussions in just input costs, and what kind of reality are we going to have in the farm bill to better reflect going forward the issues we face?
I think just taking margins into consideration, increased reference prices is good, but also with the increase, we just never know what war and what, you know, the COVID pandemic brought our input cost up. So I think considering margins when you're making those decisions for us.
You know, one of the things we're driving for immediately is we feel our energy costs can be brought back into line somewhat if the United States is producing its own energy.
Yes.
And not relying on Middle East or high-cost energy, high-cost electricity and all that. My home state of California, you know, electricity is going to continue to go through the roof as generation is taken offline. We had two nuclear power plants not that many years ago. We're going to have zero soon. Hydroelectric dams are under threat of being taken out. I'm not sure where these input costs on energy are going to be able to come into line with that kind of policy. So I appreciate that. Now, Nicole Berg from Wheat Growers, and I think this isn't just applying to wheat payments as well, but in your experience, it sounds like it's taken a year and a half after a crop is harvested for wheat payments to make it to the grower. So that lag can be obviously really tough for cash flow and for making payments, and even farmers on the edge might see that they might be going out of business waiting for that payment. Please have it. What do you say about that to fix it?
Yeah, during the WIP Plus appropriations, it's in the appropriations, and we are now working on the disaster for 2020 and 2021, and we're now in 2022, and USDA hasn't really even finished rulemaking yet. So we're hoping that with more expedience in rolling out these programs through USDA, it would help us farmers, help us in that time of need during that disaster, and not just, a 2 year later and yeah, People are going out of business.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, hopefully with most COVID nonsense behind us, we'll be sharpening these issues up a little bit.
And this is Agriculture Today.
For years, Texas cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. Next Gen brand cottonseed from AmeriCut. Next Gen varieties bred specifically for West Texas growers have performed year after year, even in harsh conditions. And for this year's season, there are several new Bolguard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Contact your local Next Gen representative or dealer today to learn more about varieties suited for your needs. Next Gen, your West Texas partner for performance cottonseed.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties? Better market access for Texas wheat producers and increased demand to your product. Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
You know, a big question for market analysts such as myself over the past year or so has been, you know, how we've been able to get to these high prices, even though our global stock figures are actually pretty healthy. I think one way that we can help get there is just take a look at where those global stocks are held. And China is top on the list.
John Devine is a senior economist with Cotton Incorporated on how cotton moves throughout China.
In the past, China's done some funny things in terms of the government holding on to reserves, but that's not the situation right now. China's reserves are, you know, at what we could consider to be a normal level. When you take a look at stocks outside of the reserve system in China, which in theory are free to the market, they're at record levels. So the question is, if China has record stocks, why are Chinese prices moving higher as are prices everywhere? And I think, you know, there's a concern that has surfaced in China. So you get back to the question that he poses, you know, how does cotton flow through China? It's a little bit different than the way things work here in the U.S. So here in the U.S., you know, the producer can control their fiber even after the ginning process. But in China and also many other places around the world, cotton growers will sell their cotton to gins, and then the gin owns that cotton, and then they will market it to merchants or downstream and supply chains. So one thing that may be creating some bottleneck in terms of the stocks within China is that the gins bought cotton, the seed cotton, at prices that were they are saying is too high relative to what they're getting downstream. Some of that maybe need to be taken with a grain of salt. Also could be that gins are being speculative. Maybe they're withholding some of their supply from the market to help drive the market higher. But we don't know. But there is something going on with the flow of cotton in China that's preventing that supply that in theory should be available from weighing on the market there.
And he does admit there is concern about whether we're destroying demand with higher prices.
So you take a look at the price difference for cotton compared to polyester, it's about as wide as it's ever been. So there's obviously some concern that we may be losing some market share there. But I think there also are some reasons to be encouraged on the demand front related to fiber share. One is that cotton's market share of the U.S. and also some other major apparel import markets was tracking higher before the latest run in prices. And even during that time period, there was a pretty healthy separation between cotton and polyester. So I think, you know, the downstream markets, the retailers and brands are looking at issues beyond simply prices at the moment. This contrasts, I think, pretty sharply with what we saw 10 years ago with a previous spike in prices. But I think, you know, some of the arguments that may be gaining more traction finally are the sustainability messaging that you know, cotton has to offer as a natural fiber. That may be something that's helping, but I think, you know, we can take a look at the fact that we were trending higher even when we were at a disadvantage before this latest run as a source of encouragement. And hopefully that will prevent the demand destruction that we saw the last time around. Just one sort of final point there, too, is that, you know, in discussions we've been having with retailers, and, you know, there are a lot more discussions about cotton prices when they are as volatile as they have been recently. The shifting of fibers as an option that they're discussing is not as prevalent as it was 10 years ago either. So I think, you know, there's something that was contributing to the gain in cotton share that we've seen ahead of this latest run in prices. And I think that, you know, retailers are looking at other concerns, such as getting goods to market, and that's taking more precedence in terms of the fiber mix. So with any luck, I don't think that we will have the same decrease in market share that we did 10 years ago.
It's Agriculture Today.
Now is the time to sell. Demand for used equipment is high, and Purple Wave Auction can help you reach the largest community of online buyers. Whether you have a single item or an entire fleet, Purple Wave Auction offers a hassle-free way to sell your equipment. Visit purplewave.com. Straight, simple, sold.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com and texascrp.com, to view many properties we have currently listed in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Give us a call at 800-933-9698 to discuss these properties in detail. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
This is Agriculture Today.
And of course, representing the constituency I do, which is both oil and gas and production agriculture, we take very careful note to how they will affect world crude oil prices. And of course, the Ukraine being a very historic major grain producer, my wheat people also are prepared to step up and match that. It all underscores, I suppose, the increase in energy production in the United States and supporting policies that will not penalize or drive capital away from domestic oil and gas production.
A former chairman of the House Ag Committee and a member of the House Finance Committee from Oklahoma, Frank Lucas.
That's more of an editorial on my part, Mr. Chairman, but I note that we stand ready in this country to replace resources that may not be available or affordable for the rest of the world, and we just need a little incentive and encouragement from this side of the room to utilize those things.